Hey, this is Jay Mendez, and you're listening to the beat of my drum. This is episode number 23, and I'm here with pop country singer from Somerset, Texas. Her name is Celestial Alcozer. How are you doing today, Celestial?
I'm doing really great, thank you.
And I happen to see you at a barbecue joint called, what's that called?
Rowdy's
in Somerset, and I saw you sing karaoke. I said, hey, that's not fair. She's not a karaoke singer. So what do you go by? Is it Celestial? I know I've talked to other people and they call you Celeste. What do you go by?
I personally like whenever people say Celestial, but as you said, others do call me Celeste, so yeah. It really doesn't matter.
It's not like it's a difficult name to say. It kind of rolls, Celestial. So when did you start singing?
I started singing from basically after I could talk, and I know some people say that and you're just like, there's no way. But the funny story behind that is when I was younger, I would share a room with my older sister and she would constantly have the radio playing through the night. And the next day when I would be in the car with my parents, I would be singing the new songs that just came out on the radio. And they would always be curious, like, how does she know all the songs and lyrics already? And it wasn't until like 2 years later, they figured out she's listening while she's asleep with the radio on, and that's how she's able to learn all the lyrics. And so
Wow, so this is something you just pick up like naturally. You didn't know at first. And yeah, there's a lot of people like that, especially musicians like yourself. They just have that natural ability to pick up on the music and lyrics too. Remembering notes, it takes practice obviously, but you can't just be naturally you can't just be able to do that. You got to, be born with it and then practice a lot. And tell us about your practicing and how often do you get into your space and, write music or even just practice cover songs?
I try and get into that space basically every day. I have my guitars hung up on my wall, and every time I walk in, it's always intriguing for me to just pick one up and start singing whichever new song I'm learning, if I'm writing one. And I actually work better at night, so I'll catch myself at night on the piano more, and then that's whenever more songs are written. So basically as often as I can.
As often as you can. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Who was one of the first artists you listened to and inspired you to sing?
First artist, I would say Taylor Swift. Nice. Growing up, she was always that female figure in music. I wanted to play the guitar. She played the guitar. I loved the way she wrote her songs, very songwritery country.
Right.
And just her voice overall, she just has, even to this day, has always been someone I've looked up to.
Yeah. And I never was shy about loving her as well. That first album is amazing. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the song Tim McGraw, like that one's kind of your style. It's got the sing-song, singer-songwriter vibe to it. And she's telling a story from a younger girl's perspective. So Taylor's awesome. When she got popular, obviously, things changed about her music. But all in all, that first album was amazing. How have you been doing in this quarantine time we've been in? I know you're not playing all day, every day. Or maybe you are, but what is it for you as an artist, as a true artist that you are? Is your manager asking you if you're working on stuff, songwriters? Like, how is that going for you?
Yes, I have an A&R that works out of L.A., Eddie Gordon, and he always talks between me and my vocal coach. What is she up to? Is she working on the new music and stuff like that? And quarantine has been kind of a songwriter's perfect ideal situation.
Right.
It's all the time in the world to just sit in my room and write songs, but also work on other aspects career-wise. And so it has given me even more free time to work on the things that maybe I didn't ever get to or wanted to get to. So I think it's been great. I enjoyed it.
For a true artist, And I know you were saying earlier about how you didn't really know too much about how the Facebook Live works or even the Instagram. Maybe you're not as well-versed as other artists because you're focused more on your music. So have you tried to make it a point like, okay, maybe I need to have more of a social media impact out there on my brand. Have you thought about that?
That's really what I've been working on, is trying to get the platform for kind of the artist figure look, I guess.
Yeah.
And so trying to be more familiar with Facebook. I never really used to use it before, and now it's trying to get an audience that way. Before, obviously, playing shows live, it's easy to get people's attention and,
exactly.
Oh, what's your name? And then they start following you and stuff like that. So it's really trying to make more of a social media impact.
Great. And approximately how many gigs did you miss out on during this time that everything's been canceled and closed?
I honestly can't think of like an exact number, but I know a show that I was really excited to play was the Babacuan Big Red Festival.
Oh, yeah. Missed that was sometime that this one. Month, right?
Yes, I was going to play May 16th.
May 16th. And that one, like a million people, it looked like was there, mm-hmm. were there last year. I went to stand in line. And shout out to everyone that puts that together. I'm not yes. knocking on y'all. It's a great name, and I think I know some of the people that are involved in that. But you know, I lined up and I was like, "There's like a million people here. I couldn't get in. It took like 30 minutes in line." And I said, you know, "Let's go get Olive Garden or something." But so you were gonna perform at that event?
Yes, I actually had a night show. So
night show.
This would have been the second year that I play the festival. And the first year I played, it was acoustic, me by myself, and it was early in the morning. This time I was going to perform with my full band. And so we were getting production ready, different surprises, and then it unfortunately got canceled.
Mm.
Circumstances, which is fine.
Yeah.
Rather health be the first forefront than just trying to throw a festival out there.
Yeah. And I think for me, I was even throwing a festival in Natalia, the Bluebonnet Fest. And I reached out to some people I know, Nate DeLeon and Solis Brothers and Jerry. I contacted Jerry DeLeon, and he said, yeah, he'll do it. And I had my set list. And he was like, you might want to contact this girl from Somerset. And I kind of was like, whatever. But he sent me the video, mm-hmm. seeing how much that makes an impact. Like, mm-hmm. you got to actually see and hear. And he sent me the video, and true story, Natalia gave me a budget to work with, and they said, oh, we don't have any more money. I said, oh, well, I don't care. Well, I'll figure it out. So I added you in the lineup. I was super excited for the male artists to go up, but then to have you in there as a female artist, you know, give you a presence. And other girls and other females love that too. They feel mm-hmm. a sense of empowerment when they see a girl like you.
It's like, I'm the only female on the roster.
Exactly. And I could already see it. There'd probably be little kids wanting to take pictures with you and everything. I was just hoping that was going to happen. But definitely, I got to line you up for next year on that.
Yes.
Yeah, the Blue Bonnet Fest. Okay, so recently you had a Facebook Live event. Going back to your Facebook Live event, how did that go for you? Did you have some... comments, some views. How did that go?
That was really exciting. We pulled in a good audience, and yeah. I, to start off with, was super nervous. I had never used Facebook Live before, and it's also a different way to perform for people. It's different from seeing their faces and how they react to certain songs, and then to just see comments come up on the screen.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm singing to myself, which was a very awkward thing, but over the course of actually filming it got a little easier, and I'm actually really excited to do another one. Speaking of Jerry, on Tuesday we're gonna film another Facebook Live.
Ooh, I'll be checking that out. Is that on Jerry's page or your page? Or
I believe it'll be on Jerry's.
Nice. And I forgot to ask the Solis Brothers too, how is it whenever you're playing and everybody's saying, give a shout out to me, and you know, your aunt, your uncle, your friend, and can you play this song and that song? Is it distracting?
I did find it being a little distracting, because you see people that you know and you want to say like, oh, hi. But then if I were playing a live show, I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. And if you had your set already, did you have like a mm-hmm. set list?
Yes.
So you wanted to stick to that and be kind of, you know, as professional as possible, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but yeah, I understand. I was going to do a DJ live set, but for me, I was thinking, I don't want to be halfway through my set and then take off my... You know how their DJs are playing sets and they're taking mm-hmm. them off because of the music's copyrighted.
Oh.
So I'm like, nah, I don't want to be just taken off like that. But that's why I'm doing stuff like this. And so, yeah, so we get to some covers. You're a pop artist, and you said you were going to play a cover for us by
Sean and Camila Cabello.
Sean and Camila Cabello. Here she is. It is Celestial Alcozer from Somerset, Texas, on the beat of my drum. She's going to sing a song here for you all, and it'll be the first song of this podcast. Here she is. That was Celestial Alcozer cover song, Sean Mendez and Camila Cabello. They are a couple still, right? I hate to be a gossip style of a podcast, but yeah, aren't they a couple?
Yes.
They are, right?
They are.
Shawn Mendes, whew, he's great. He is so good. He's got a lot of talent. And then Camila Cabello, I am such a fool. I went to a Bruno Mars concert like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Oh, and she was opening act,
and I didn't know who she was. Like, she hadn't, not even Havana was out. I don't even think. She might have, it might have been, but I was at the bar with my friends, and we were waiting for Bruno, and I was like, I don't know who she is. I'm not going to go see her. And I made a mistake, because now she's one of the greatest or biggest stars out there on the female side. Would you consider yourself a country or pop artist?
I would consider myself a good balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like stylistically writing, I come from a more country background, but once we get in the studio, it's messing around with a lot of beats and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it has a turn for pop music.
And I can hear that. Like, you're able to go acoustic and adapt to the country sound pretty mm-hmm. easily. Almost, it actually seems effortlessly how you play the countryside, because you're only playing 2-3 chords. You're not really messing around and with your guitar. You're just singing basic stuff, but great music.
Thank you.
Pop artists, there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more different sounds. You know, you got to have an electric guitarist. You got to have somebody mm-hmm. on the drums that can mix it up. With your vision of your debut album, whenever it's going to be, what do you envision your album to sound like? What do you see it? I mean, I know every day we're evolving, every time your music evolves, but mm-hmm. what do you see your album sounding like?
So actually right now we are kind of in the middle tail end of finishing my first album. And right now it sounds, you can hear the singer-songwritery from the actual lyrics, and then there are some breakaways where the pop beats and stuff will come in.
Mm-hmm.
It really sounds, the best way I can put it is really a balance of both. I think in all songs, you have to find that balance, or else it's too much in this area or too little in this.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's really, we go in with a song and
the song really writes itself. Yeah. And that's good for you. I think people may say out there, well, why doesn't she sing more country? You know, as you continue your gigs, people might say that, right? But in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, you're this one
mm-hmm.
to 100 other female country artists.
Exactly.
So you're the one that's mixing it up, doing pop music. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love pop music. Of course, NSYNC and Justin Timberlake and Bruno Mars. Like, that's really where I started, R&B and then pop. And then now, just like everyone else, I fell into the Texas country.
Mm-hmm.
Funnel, and it's amazing. The songwriting in Texas country
are all really great.
So who do you listen to from the countryside?
From the countryside, I really move around. It's basically, I even if it's a song that hasn't been really mainstream yet, I'll still listen to them. So some that I can name are Maren Morris.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like her voice has a little bit of a blend of pop and country.
She did somewhat of a crossover
mm-hmm.
and successfully, you know, so.
Which is kind of hard to do.
Yeah. Throw a name out there for you, Kacey Musgraves.
She's really good.
She started off like strictly country, right? Like a Texas country girl. And now she's like selling out shows and she's at festivals and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I like her songwriting a lot. Like, the way she writes songs are really cool. So your songwriting, what is your influence from your songs? I'm not trying to get too into your business, but
no, that's perfect.
So what's your motivation whenever you put the pen down and you start writing a song about, you know, someone you had a relationship with or what?
It's always really different. Like I said, I feel like writing my own songs and I was kind of teaching myself how to write. It allowed me to explore in different ways, whether it's like making the song super fast or stripping the song down to just a piano. It really depends on the first line that I think should be the song. I always go in and it's very much, this caught my eye and so we're going to work around that. That's why, going back to my album, a lot of the songs, you try and make an album as cohesive as you can, but also and like I said, the songs write themselves. So we'll go into the studio and I'll go in with just a basic, oh, I think it should have guitar, I think it should be this melody. And you're really just building on top of that, and the song really just comes out the way.
Yeah, so you're not really like saying, okay, well, a lot of people start from the hook, the chorus, and mm-hmm. then kind of build around.
I'm weird. I start from the verses.
You start from the verses, okay.
Which and people then... find to be difficult, but I always find it harder to come in on a chorus because it has to be so catchy and so different from the verse to mm-hmm. pull you out of that space.
Yeah.
So the verses for me are easy because that's where you get the story out of.
That's and where I you feel get the story, yeah.
I feel like I do better at that.
Yeah. You said... Well, from your Instagram and from what you tell me, what you've told me that you like going to concerts mm-hmm. and stuff. What's your favorite concert that you've been to?
My favorite concert is whenever me and my friends flew to Toronto to see Shawn Mendes at his first stadium show. That was one to remember for sure.
What stadium was that?
It was at Rogers.
Oh,
I think they call it Rogers Center.
Yeah.
That's a stadium, they call it a center, but
that's crazy. And so you got a passport and everything mm-hmm. to go to Toronto.
Literally, I think it was 3 weeks before we were gonna leave, I was getting my passport and it came in right before we were gonna go. And how did we get there? I think we flew out of Austin to go to Dallas, where mm-hmm. my other friend lives, and we flew out of Dallas, Air Canada, to go to Canada. And I'll remember that forever because
yeah,
being an artist, those are my favorite things to do, to see someone else perform and learn from them. And so going to a place where there's 50,000 people, differences aside, you're there for one thing, music. It's the closest thing to magic, I think.
Is he Canadian?
He is Canadian.
He is Canadian, mm-hmm. right? So what do you think about another Canadian, Justin Bieber, his music?
I actually really love his album.
The new one, right?
Mm-hmm,
yeah, okay.
Changes.
Okay, great. I was hoping you would say yes. That's one of my favorite albums in a while, you know. Past 6 months, I've been really jamming that one. Like, there's just every song sounds, it's a vibe, you know. It's a good.
He works with incredible people.
That's
like
true.
Like Pooh Bear being a writer.
Yeah. Pooh Bear is, writer. Yeah, he's popular. And you went to Toronto. What do you think of Drake?
I mean, he's the sixth god.
The sixth god, yeah. So did you see anybody over there? Like, did you see any billboards of him or anything when you were there?
I don't think we saw billboards, just because maybe his stuff wasn't as recent. He hadn't released stuff yet. But you can definitely tell the vibe of the city.
So when you hear his music, could you see, like what you've heard from Drake, could you see that in where you were in Toronto?
Yes, it's very... the people, like, you can just tell the people are so different over there, but they're also welcoming, and I don't know, there's just something about them that you can tell you're in Canada.
I hear it's a great city to visit, so I'll have to check it out. Did you miss did they have Mexican food? Probably not, right?
We didn't find any there.
Yeah. Next question here. So when you're not playing music, what do you like to do for fun?
Fun music is I music do that all the time. Whenever I'm not performing or writing music or in the studio, I'm just hanging out with my family. We'll be swimming in the backyard. It's basically, if I'm not doing music, it's kind of my chill time. So I'll be in my room. I mean, that's kind of hard. I listen to music 24/7,
right?
And it's either, I guess, swimming, just kind of being outside relaxing, I guess. Actually living life, because as a songwriter you have to have stuff to write about.
Experiences.
So it's experiences and stuff.
Nice. So do you have like a best friend, like a group of friends you vibe with, like, mostly, or mm-hmm. do you talk to everybody?
I'm the person that talks to everybody, but I also have small groups.
You have your small group.
So the girls that I travel with to different shows, mm-hmm. like Brittany, Danny, Kayla, they're kind of the ones that I keep in touch with probably the most.
Yeah.
But I still keep in touch with my hometown friends as often as I can.
Nice. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2016.
2016. Okay. So now let's get to your talents here. I would say you're a multi-instrumentalist.
Mm-hmm.
So you play the keys,
the guitar.
What else?
Those are the only two instruments I play.
Okay. Were you in the band in school?
So the start to actually even learning guitar, guitar is the first instrument that I learned. I had gotten a guitar at the end of my sixth grade year, and going into seventh grade, my dad had said he was going to take me to go get lessons, and obviously with the business and stuff, it just never worked out in the plans. Yeah. And so I took the initiative, signed myself up for mariachi because I was like, they have a guitar in
love
there.
Love it, yeah.
Still don't know Spanish or anything, but I was just like, that's my foot in the door. That could teach me. And so luckily, Mr. Hernandez, the mariachi teacher, took a leap of faith on me and allowed me in the class. You're supposed to have the year before that course before you actually get the guitar to play. And he told me, you have about 3 weeks. We're going to take a test then. And if you don't pass, you won't be able to stay in the class. And my parents were aware, and we were just like, okay, I'm going to work so hard to teach myself guitar. And so I would come home every single day right after I finished my actual schoolwork. I would just be on the guitar. He gave me like little charts to learn, and I would teach myself. And my fingers were not even long enough for the fretboard or anything. And so I would have blisters on my fingers. And then finally the test came, and we were getting tested on what chair order we were going to be in. And I ended up beating all my friends, and I became third chair of the whole class. And so it was, he always used me as an example, like, she wasn't even in stuff last year, and here she is outplaying the other students. And
you're
so
lucky. You're lucky you had a mariachi band. Yeah, 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 definitely. You know, for me, I started off in the band in school. I don't think I've said that on my podcast here, but I was a trumpet in school, and that's where I learned the basics of counting and just the basic, you know, chords and stuff. And then I started playing the guitar, learned how to play it, and I learned pretty quickly that I was terrible at singing. I was just terrible at singing. So I was, man, it discouraged me bad because I would work and work and work to sing cover songs, and I'm like, you know, I'm just bad. I'm just a bad singer. So so I got the idea of helping out other artists, you know, because I still love the music part of it. But
I still feel like anybody could learn
to sing.
I think so.
I don't know. I've done stuff in front of people before, like years ago, and I just didn't have it as a singer. So tell us about your music on Apple and Spotify. Do you have a playlist on there, or what do you have going on your Apple and Spotify identity on there?
So I have, I believe it's 3 songs, but there's also some remixes to a couple of them, and you can definitely go and check those out. They're, one of them is called Honest, and it's really fun and upbeat. So I think I actually got told before by one of my school counselors, one time we ran into her, and she was like, I have your music on my workout playlist.
Nice.
And it's so cool to hear whenever people are actually enjoying it.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Because it comes from a place of just writing the song and recording it, and you hope people like it.
Yeah.
But to have people respond that way. And even the first song that I released, Colors, it was the first song I've ever written. And then we released it, and then it went to radio. And to hear people from my hometown come up to me and say, I connected to that song and I felt like it was written about me.
Yeah.
That's the goal as a songwriter, is to make it personal but also universal so people can connect.
Nice. So yeah, check her out on Apple and Spotify as well. You can look her up, Celestial Alcozer. She's also on Instagram.
Celestial Alcozer as well. Celestial All Alcozer. My handles are...
Just keep it the name. Celestial Alcozer. You're lucky to have a unique name too, because you don't got to worry about Celestial Alcozer 5 or something weird like that. You just keep it.
Exactly. That's and cool. It's spelled different with the S in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So do you get nervous on stage? And what is the biggest crowd you've played in front of?
I went through a phase where I would be shaking before a show. And that was the beginning stages of me actually performing in front of people. And the first song in, I would still be... You could hear the nervousness in my voice, and I would always be like, when am I going to get to the point where it's not like this anymore? And my parents would just tell me, the more shows you play, the easier it'll get. So I would just go out there every single time, and eventually now I'm at the point where before a show I'm extremely nervous, and I'm very careful about what I eat and what I drink.
Right.
And then once I get up there, it feels like home. It feels, that's where I belong.
Yeah. And you don't want to be, talk about your diet too. Like say on a gig, on a day, you're you're going to have a gig. What are you eating? What are you drinking? Which is straight water, right?
Exactly. I'm super strict.
Yeah.
3 hours before a show, I stop eating. That sounds a little bad.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. That's awesome.
So my morning mainly consists of just eating something light, healthy. You're not allowed to have dairy or fruit or juices and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. It is strictly water. Before the show, the 3 hours before, I'll eat, whether it's like chicken with rice or something, mm-hmm. something that protein that'll fill you up so that you can last through the whole show and have the energy. And after the show, it's everything. I'll eat all the stuff that I couldn't eat throughout the rest of the day. I'll eat after the show because
Whataburger.
Exactly. Or it's, actually, it's so weird. And I've been asked this before. After I play, I'll get like a coffee or something.
Mm, yeah.
I'm a coffee lover. And so after a show, we'll go to like a Starbucks and I'll just get something like that and just come home, shower and go to bed.
That's awesome. See, that beats the DJ life. You know, I think I'm going to. I think I'm eventually going to just wear down out there because, you know, you have the people come up to you, take a shot and play a song mm-hmm. and I'll give you a beer. And I'm like, so I'm trying to wind down on that. And of course, worry about my diet, too, before mm-hmm. I go to an event, because, you know, if I have to announce a court of, you know, 20 people, I get nervous, too. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I've done 100 already and I'm just like, why am I nervous? I've done this a lot, but
it's because you care.
You care. You don't want to mess it up. It's their special time. Everyone's mm-hmm. got it on video, on camera. You don't want to call someone by the wrong name. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that matters. Or
mispronounce it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, it's not how
they'll
you
give
say
the face.
It.
They'll look at me. But yeah, so it's all important to stay professional and prepared. So now, can you get us with a cover? I'm sorry, an original song from your whatever you want to do. You're the artist.
I was thinking of doing a cover.
Let's do it. Cover.
A piano one.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. How do you turn on this?
Probably feel
All right, great song there. That was a piano cover. What's the name of that song and who sings it?
It's called More Hearts Than Mine by, I believe you pronounce it, Ingrid Andress. I think that's how you say it. Sorry if I'm butchering it.
Ingrid? Ingrid. I've never heard that song before, ever. That's cool. So we heard her on the guitar, piano, and I'm wondering, because it just takes so much focus to do what you're doing, so much practice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been discouraged or felt like, you know, it's music's going to be too difficult for you?
I've had moments of feeling overwhelmed, whether that's with deadlines or, again, shows.
No, you're good.
But overall, I feel like those moments that you get with the fans and stuff, when they come up to you and tell you that songs have helped them, that overtakes any of the negatives that you feel. It almost makes them, you forget that you even had them. You're like, this feels so much better. And I'm so lucky that I'm able to write music, create music as my job.
So are you looking at what do you gauge your success as an artist? Numbers that you see, of course, you look at your streams on
mm-hmm.
Apple and Spotify, but how about just your shows? You know, are you, like, what are you using to really get your feedback from?
What I enjoy is whenever people come up to me after shows, and I mean, the first thing I do after I get off stage, I go to my parents and I'm like, how did it sound?
Yeah.
So that they're always, I mean, obviously very truthful with me. My family, they'll tell me, you could have fixed this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I have the exact equation to say I gauge success this way. I just feel like you're just kind of taking it as it goes.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a perfect show every single time. And sometimes you're going to have the best show you've ever had. But it's basically just working on that and trying to get better every single time, improve.
So the feedback, you know, when people tell you, I've been listening to your music, you did good, like, that's just enough for you already.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough for you to keep going. Great.
Exactly.
And a lot of artists do get discouraged. I've known plenty in my family. I have a lot of very musically talented people, and I hear their stuff, and I'm like, man, you're so good. But if they hear one bad thing about just how they play or whatever, mm-hmm. like, that's it. But what you do is not for everybody.
Exactly. And I'm definitely my worst critic. I mean, as any artist is, we're probably the hardest on ourselves. Because, again, something that the average listener wouldn't hear, I would have caught it. And when I first started playing shows, if I messed up, I would carry that thought throughout the rest of the show, and I wouldn't have as much fun.
Yeah.
And I finally got to a point where it's like, you might have a mess up, you might forget lyrics, but just keep on going and forget about it. It happened. People are listening for the songs after that.
Yeah.
So you can't.
Most of the time, they don't even notice.
Exactly.
Or they just forget it, like, within a minute. They mm-hmm. forgot you messed up. You had
it's
a blooper.
It's like, this is live.
Unless you fall over from wearing high heels or something.
No, luckily, it's never happened.
People won't forget about that. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's do you wear heels on stage? Like, are you worried about falling on? Because I've seen female artists, they're wearing heels, and they're like, walking around stage. I'm like, oh,
I do,
God.
But they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And again, before the show, you're looking out for wires. Like, this stuff is here. Make sure I don't.
Are you putting like a carpet down? You know how some artists put the carpet, the rug.
I think for one show I did, but most of the time, that's not always the most comfortable thing to do.
No.
Because then I'm worried about tripping over the rug that's
yeah.
there. That's
yeah.
a bigger object to kind of try and not
cross. So we've talked about everything, and you've mentioned your parents almost in every subject. So what role has your parents played in your career? And this is a chance right now to give them,
mm-hmm.
show them some homage, you know, because
exactly.
I know they've been very important in what you've done.
They are a part of every aspect of the career. From the support, being a lot younger. I mean, I can't even think of how many parents would say, okay, go ahead and follow your music career, because it is, some people see it as being so far-fetched, but my parents, with the love and support, it really means a lot. And like you said, maybe discouraging times and stuff, they're the people that if it ever gets too hard, it's like, okay, what do I do? And the next steps are always, oh, it wasn't that hard. That was mm-hmm. just a little thing we had to get over. And so they are definitely a part of every aspect. Before the show prep, during the show prep, they literally make the show happen. My dad doing all the equipment and stuff like that, it's the show rides on that. Yeah. And
your dad's getting into, you know, sound and exactly. I think he played the guitar on, was it him? He was singing. He was singing on one of the lives.
Singing a little bit,
so
yeah.
So he's getting involved. That's super cool.
Like, I owe it all to them. I always tell them.
I think of my daughter because I have a 12-year-old, so mm-hmm. I think if she got into music, I'd be doing the same thing, like
mm-hmm.
setting you up and just being a part of the mix. You know, who doesn't want to be a part of
Exactly, like
the experience.
If you ever get to a point where it, obviously, as an artist, you want to be successful and stuff in your craft, you need the people to spend it with you as well.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to have that home base where out of the music, they're the group of people that I go to for everything. So exactly, I owe it all to them. I think I've said at a show before, I was playing a song and I was like, I have to say this because we're the artists on stage, but it takes so many other people that are there watching to actually make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me, a songwriter, writing music, recording the songs. It's also them. My mom drives me to and from the studio because on the way to the studio, I'm working on the song. On the way home, I'm still working on the song. So it's like even the little things that people wouldn't think like, oh, that's so normal. It's actually a big deal.
Yeah. Where do you record? Like, where's your studio?
The studio that I record at is in San Antonio.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say like where it's located.
No, no. Just like, yeah. So what other artists have you met? Have you met any like pretty big artists?
I've met DJ Kane before.
Nice.
I know sometimes Angel Cintron, another mm-hmm. artist in San Antonio. She works there. The producers that I work with have worked with major artists like Kesha, Jason Derulo, Mariah Carey, Britney Spears, Michael Bublé. That's just to name a few, but I'm very lucky to get to work with talented people like them.
Nice. And of course, Nashville and mm-hmm. LA, those are the hot spots for recording. And mm-hmm. so is Austin to some degree. Have you spent any time in any of those three cities?
I haven't yet. I visited Austin a couple times, but it was
We're not talking Sixth Street Party. No.
I did an audition there once, but other than that, I haven't had the chance to fly to those places to specifically do that. I've flown to New York before, but it wasn't music related. It was just to see the city. I would love to, though, eventually.
Yeah, Austin's a hotbed for artists like yourself. What do you think of South by Southwest? Have you considered trying to get into that festival?
So that would be like a goal to get to for sure.
Yeah.
One of the stepping stones. I love South by Southwest. I personally went was it last year or the year before?
I know you didn't go this year.
Nope, not this year. I think it was last year. Or no, it might have been the year before. Yeah. Whatever. I went to see what it was all about. You kind of hear about it and you know how incredible it is. And you know a lot of executives from labels come to scout people.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've always been like, I want to go and play a show. Even if it's a little, you see those people that play the little sets, those still matter because that's where you could get found. And so I've definitely looked into it before, but it's also really tricky to get in.
It is, right? Don't you have to submit a video and then you're like in a list of other artists that are
like
trying to get...
Yeah, it's like a queue of artists.
Yeah,
a
queue of artists. My cousin, and I need to get you this album. I need to get you this album because I think you'll absolutely love it. It fits into what you do. But my cousin's name, Luke Valencia,
mm-hmm.
and he's from Natalia, and probably like 10 years ago. He moved to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a podcast as well. But his 10-song album is probably like one of my greatest favorite albums out of anything I've ever heard. It's just so like true and raw about everything mm-hmm. about the album. And he went to Austin and he tried the same thing. He got into one venue for an event and he said after that it just was difficult. Like you have
it's
to
very
submit.
Competitive.
Yeah, it's so competitive. And they want artists from all over the world, so they're getting artists not just from America, but from everywhere else,
mm-hmm.
Which is hard to do. But that'd be cool if you were to get into South By. I'll definitely go check you out if you are. Little fun Q&A here. Do you consider yourself a risk taker?
I do. because I'm in this business, in the music business. So that's definitely a risk off the bat. That's why I would say I am.
You're betting on yourself, your talent.
Exactly.
Are you afraid of heights?
I don't think I'm afraid of heights. No.
What's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear is probably getting like lost at sea or like in deep water, like ocean water.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the beach. I'm more of a lake girl, but yeah.
If you can see land, then you're good.
Not even that. Like even going a little bit far out, I'm looking around already like, is something going to come? It's just...
So your biggest fear is being stranded like in the middle of the ocean and...
Mm-hmm. Or even just being like at the beach and swimming too far out when I can't see the floor. That's already scary.
Yeah. I think whenever I went deep sea fishing and I said, well, how far is deep sea? When I got on, I didn't really know. I just knew it was deep sea and I thought it was just going to be like, but it was like 4 hours on the boat to get to the middle. It was crazy. It was insane. I won't do that again, but it's cool to say I did it. What's one city or country you would like to visit and why?
As I mentioned earlier, I'm a big coffee lover, and I feel like, no, I was going to say Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, is that a coffee spot?
I don't know if it's a coffee spot, but it's just foreign, and something must be different.
Yeah.
So I would love, and I, just like the culture over there, I feel like I would fall in love with that place. So Amsterdam.
I think I'm going to have to YouTube Amsterdam. I do a lot of like world traveling on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like I look at different spots and... It's interesting. I haven't done Amsterdam.
Seeing like though. The Netherlands is very well known for the new beats and stuff, all the new sounds that come into pop music and even R&B music. They're always the first ones. So I feel like just the vibe over there would be so futuristic than normal life here.
So on the female side in R&B music, I'm a huge R&B fan, more so than pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I told you that before when we talked. So like her...
Oh, I love her with Daniel Caesar.
Like, she's so good. Ella May, Summer Walker. She's kind of out there, but what are you thinking about their music and what they put out? Do you listen to that at all?
I do listen to them. I listen to her, and I do listen to Ella May. It's always good to listen to different genres. I enjoy it. I always like to fish out for, that sounds so different. What can I do to change and incorporate that in my own music? So I love listening to R&B because it's very, you can hear that it's really from the ground up as a song on its own. It's like, it's not over, like it doesn't have overproduction on it and it's really raw and I enjoy that.
Nice. Yeah, so that'd be cool. I was working with a girl from Natalia, her name's Megan, I told you, and I kind of have a direction for her. Like I want to do more R&B. She's not into instruments and stuff, so that's probably what I'm going to do next with her. So for you, when quarantine is over, what's going to be the first restaurant that you go to? And what's your favorite restaurant to go to? And when quarantine is over, what's something you're like, I've been craving to go there?
A place that I'm thinking of on the top of my head is, what is it even called? They have the, Paisanos.
Paisanos.
The shrimp paisano?
Yeah, I've never been.
That would be very good. Really?
Never been.
It's really good. You have to try that if you go. But other than that, I'm really like a fast food person because of the studio days are so backwards. It's always basically what's open. What can I get at this hour? And so it's really just, and if not, then it's just I'll come home, sleep, and then the next morning I'll worry about it.
What's a studio day?
It's waking up, doing normal stuff until about 3, heading to the studio at like 5:30, and then we've worked until like 1:30 in the morning, and then come home.
And some people like rappers and stuff, they go in. Like
they enjoy the nighttime.
They go like at 10 o'clock at night and they're just vibing all night.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
weird.
You're not overthinking. Like if I were to wake up and say, I'm going to write a song, I have to go in right now. It would be a lot harder because you have to be really relaxed and there has to be no pressure in the studio. A vibe is a real big thing.
Yeah, vibe
so
for sure.
So if someone goes in and messes that up or someone's not on the same page as someone else, you can feel it in the room. And so it's always, night times are better. And when you're in the studio, you really forget about what time it is. You leave and you're like, whoa, it's so dark.
I love what you just said there. Everyone that's listening, we have Celestia Alcozer. She had a great quotable from this podcast. She said, if there's a negative energy in the room, you can feel that, you can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
And they gotta leave. Is that what you mean?
Walk right back out.
Yeah.
No, I've worked with really incredible people that pretty much we're all like throughout the day you're thinking of like, okay, we're doing this in the studio, or are we just going in with a clean slate? And studio really starts out with you walk in, either I have an idea or I wrote a song and it goes, or you just go with a couple ideas and you just talk about life for like the first 20 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And then
are they asking you like, what are you going through right now? Or have you had,
they're just like, how have you been?
Yeah.
And then you just start unloading because you're so used to these people.
Just like that. Yeah.
And then you just write songs from that perspective.
So what's your favorite store to shop at? What's your go-to store?
If you look in my closet, everything is probably from Abercrombie and Fitch.
Abercrombie.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
They got those comfortable jeans and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And joggers and stuff.
Yeah. Nice. What are you watching on Netflix during quarantine?
I recently got into Ozark. Oh, I'm late to the party, but
You're pretty late to the party, but honestly, I haven't started season 3. I needed some time to cool off. Like, I've taken a week off from watching it, and at the end of season 2, I'm just shocked. You seen it?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm
no
on
spoilers.
Like the third episode of the first season.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's gonna be great. Like, keep watching it. It's an amazing show.
It's already intriguing. It's like you don't want the FBI or cops to win.
Yeah.
You're wanting the family to.
Yeah. That's kind of how I started the podcast. I was like, you know, I'm going to put out, because I'm big into like crime and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to do something like investigative work or whatever. And I do have one episode that it had to do with a crime, like a murder.
Oh, wow.
And I got to interview a family member and everything like that. So I was a little fearful of like, oh, this could there be some repercussions from this? But mm-hmm. No, everything went well. And everybody texted me that people I didn't even know, like, thanks for doing that.
Oh,
the
wow.
word needed to get out and stuff. But I'm working on a few things right now on the crime end. A couple local stories I'm working on behind the scenes. But I haven't really had the opportunity to get him to sit down with me, because it's a traumatic experience mm-hmm. for some of these people. Like, if someone's missing in their family, and I'll ask them, do you mind talking about it? You mind getting on a podcast? And like right away, they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
you get there and then you really feel it.
No, they don't want to do it. Like, after the second conversation, they'll be like, yeah, I don't think it's the right time. And like, there's one right now I've been trying to get, and, the lady's missing. There's a lady missing and stuff. And I had it. She's like, come over to my house. We'll do the interview and I'll give you everything you need. And then like that very day, I had everything ready like I do now. And she's like, she called me. She's like, hey, I don't want to do it. And I said, what? And she's like, no, I'm just going to have to backtrack on what I said. I said, oh, okay, well, I understand. But mm-hmm. But yeah, that'll be a show as well coming up. I'm sure I'm gonna get some
check
more.
That out.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as this show is concerned, let's get back to what we're here for, and that is for the music. And do you have something? Let's see. I don't know, something for maybe our parents, like your parents and our parents. Maybe an old cover song. Maybe you can do that. Your parents love to hear you sing. From their time and my parents.
My parents are actually here right now. Which song would y'all like me to sing? My song. Oh, the... what is it called?
Strawberry Wine.
People have had, like, suggested that song, so I barely go through it, but not enough to be like, I'm playing
yeah.
this song.
Grandpa, tell me about the... No.
Ooh. Okay, so I'll play. It's a cover song. It's called Love Triangle.
Okay.
I'll play that song. So I guess to preface what it's about, it's basically how the kids are caught in the middle of the parents' situation uh-huh. of probably getting divorced. That's what you can kind of imply from the lyrics. And basically my mom, her parents got divorced, and so she was kind of living that life. And luckily my parents have been married for 37 years.
37.
And so, yes, big round of applause for that. So it's kind of, from her perspective, it would be breaking that cycle.
Yeah.
And sticking through it through anything.
Right.
And so this song is dedicated to my
mom.
Ooh,
I want
to
hear that. Okay. So that was Celestia Alcoser singing Love Triangle, very special song there, requested by her mom. And her parents are here with us as well, hanging out. Like I said earlier, they helped out getting all this equipment ready, and they're part of the crew here for Celestia. And I'm sure part of her plans for the future as well. So speaking of the future, what do you have planned coming up when things settle down? What do you want to get ramped up, and what kind of game plan do you have going for the future here?
So right now we're focusing on getting the album done, then setting up a date to release it. We're working on some merch. We're also trying to work with an organization in order to help other families during this COVID-19, because obviously it was very unexpected, and I also want to help as much as I can. So we're trying to get more information to choose an organization. We're coming out with merch that proceeds will go to the organization that we choose. It's to hopefully help out other people who need it.
Can I get a koozie?
Yes,
you can. For my Miller Lite? No. Thank you.
We're working a lot of things.
So you have some merch coming up. That's going to be cool. Is there going to be like a website or something they could get the merch from?
Yes. Right now we're reconstructing the website to fit a different vibe for the new album. And there will be a donation button on there so you can directly donate to this organization. We'll have the merch, whereas proceeds will go. And so you can check it out. It's called CelestialCozerOfficial.com.
And on the last note, I want to ask you before we do wrap it up, and she may play a song or two to close it out. What is your thought on what's going on? What happened? Like I think all of us are still like, what the heck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
We're all like shell-shocked. So what did you think, and what do you think about everything?
It's definitely wild.
Yeah.
It's like you started off the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden it took a turn, and you're like stuck at home every day. But I would say, I mean, you can't predict these things. It's just trying to make a good thing out of a bad situation. It's crazy. Obviously, I wish and hope that people are staying safe, staying home if you can, just to let this all go by so we can get back to a version of what normal would be for us.
That's a great point you make, too. You want everyone to be safe. And I had some dumb friends of mine. They're like, dude, you're 30 years old. You're perfectly healthy. I said, yeah, but my parents, mm-hmm. my grandparents, like, I don't want them getting sick, so mm-hmm. I'm going to stay home. I work at a USAA, so I work from home now because of this, and I'm just like, I don't want to expose myself.
Exactly. It's like, it's not just you being a young person or even middle-aged. It's
everyone
who could be affected because of you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to watch out for that.
Exactly. Well, that wraps up the podcast here with Celestial Cozer. I thank you so much. And what do you have any last words to your fans here?
I would say be patient. New music is coming. We have a song that will be released really soon that we're working on to finish. We'll probably finish it in the next week. It's called Better Days. So keep on the lookout for that. And it really has to deal with seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in harsh situations. Just like now, these uneasy and trying times, you have to find that the light in whatever's happening, and the fact that you get to stay home and be with family. Maybe you never had that opportunity. So I would say just wait for the new music. Merch is coming, and just stay updated.
Amazing. Stay tuned in to Celestial Cozer on Instagram and Facebook. She's got a lot going on, a lot coming out. And here she is on the Beat of My Drum podcast with Jay Mendez, and here she is singing an original song called
Better Days.
Better Days. Here she is. Better day. And that wraps up episode number 23. Thank you for listening. Please give me some feedback on Instagram under @thebeatofmydrum and Facebook on the Beat of My Drum Entertainment page. Talk to you soon, and remember, always march to the beat of your own drum.
The Beat of My Drum Entertainment.